Today, I'm going to talk to you about one of the research areas that I have started working on just recently. That's distributed searching in mobile peer-to-peer systems. And before I start, let me actually tell you the relevance of this particular area, that is searching. And to be more specific, distributed searching. This sort of system can be used in quite a few number of places. We can use this for distributed searching in the vanilla application like file sharing, or we can actually go on to other applications like collaborative working in a ad hoc environment where you are not sharing just files, you are sharing data structures. Or we can go in for, let's say, applications like instant messaging, in which you have an ad hoc network of cell phones or your PDAs, and you are sending instant messages from one device to another. And the thing is that the constraint that in these all applications is that we are using desktops. In some places, we are using PDAs, which has limited power, limited resources. So we want to make the system as simple as possible so that there is no problem in porting the same application from one system to another. So I will be starting with the general idea about the searching, then I will talk something about two of the existing systems available now, that is Freenet and Gunkler. Then I will be talking something about directed search, and then I will be talking about these two data structures that makes distributed searching in our system possible. And then we will talk something about how to damp the query so that the network bandwidth is not used much. And I will conclude after that. So the searching that we are aiming at is keyword searching instead of just file searching. So we can try to find a particular piece of data or a data structure or a file based on the file name. But that's not too good, and we are basing our searching on the keywords attached to that particular file. And our idea is that we constrain the query propagation in some ways that I will discuss in the later slides. And the third goal is self-adaptation. That is, when a particular user is moving from one region to another, or say, one autonomous system to another, like in a cell phone system, or if he gets disconnected and he reconnects after some time, he should be able to seamlessly connect to the system again and do his searching as well as he please. So we want the system to be totally decentralized. We want it to be scalable. That is really a big deal in current peer-to-peer systems too, that if it's not scalable, then it won't work. And we also want to constrain the bandwidth. So let's quickly go through two of the existing systems that are available as of now. GNutilab is based for searching. We do a flooding of the whole network, and it's an exhaustive breadth first search. That is, we start from a particular node, and it broadcasts its search query to each and every node that it comes across, that it is connected to. To some extent, it is constrained in the sense that we have the TTL value that actually limits the search to a particular depth. And the major problem here is of the bandwidth. It's very easy to calculate theoretically that if you have an n, that is the number of nodes that are connected to a particular peer, and if you make h the number of hops that the particular query can go through with these two values of around 8, the amount of bandwidth that is incurred in just sending the query is around 1.2 GB. That's the theoretical bandwidth. I mean, the actual practical bandwidth may be a bit less, but that's the amount of bandwidth. So this is quite a big problem in the current systems like GNutilab. The second system that is Freenet, which is a bit different from GNutilab, that it's based on depth first search instead of a breadth first search. And we have the concept of file keys which we can generate using keyword signed keys. The basic concept is that you have a set of keywords and you actually hash those correct keywords to generate a key, and that you use for searching. So the problem here comes is that you need to know the exact key to search for that particular file or a data. And another limitation is that each node waits for the response from an adjacent node before sending the request further to another node. So this makes the searching really, really slow. So that's what I mean when I say sequential processing. And what we are aiming at is directed breadth first search. That is, we send the query to not to all the nodes that are connected. We send it to just few nodes based on some constraint, and those constraints is handled by what we call as the mapping that we will be using, which I'm going to talk to you about just now. So in directed search, we are having a trade-off between the network bandwidth and the response time. Since we are just sending the query to a subset of the nodes that are connected to a peer, so to some extent, your response time will suffer. That is, we will be getting less number of queries and in more time. And this is the agency table basically contains the connected peers, and this is a data structure in which we have your reference, which I'm going to talk to you about, which basically is the IP of the next hop, and it contains index, which is actually connected to this query to peer mapping, which is actually used for the constraint. That is, that decides actually the subset from which we need to forward the query to. So these are the two things I'm going to talk to you in details. Let's start with the agency table. It's a list with each entry containing GeoID, reference, and index. GeoID is a unique ID which is used to uniquely identify a file. And there can be quite a few number of ways in which we can generate the GeoID. One of the ways is randomly select a number and just assign that number to that file. But the way that I am planning to do is to take the hash of the data of that particular file, and that generates a particular unique identifier. And the best thing about this is that this will be unique for a particular file, and since it's hashing all the data inside that particular file, so the problem of actually uniquely identifying a file that is same is removed. That is, even if the name of a file is different, if the data in that file is the same, you will get the same identifier. So this is what is the GeoID. Yes. So that's the concept here. That is, instead of basing a search on a file name, which can change. So if I am actually looking for a Britney Spears song, I can, and we rename it, then our search will be totally wrong. So that's why instead of having a search based on just the file name, it is always better to identify the file based on the keywords or the actual data inside that file. So that's the thing. So because of that, your GeoID will vary if the content of that file change. So if initially I start with the file A and we add something to that particular file, so if somebody changes that file, the next file that we will have a different GeoID. And that takes care of quite a good thing about replication. You don't have to worry about replication in that sense. And we distinguish between local entries and remote entries. So we have talked about GeoID. Reference is the address of the next hop. So it's So in a way, we are directing the query in one particular direction. So instead of actually saying that a particular file or a data lies in one direction, in that particular node, we are saying that a particular file lies in that particular direction. And this is what the reference is. And the third field is the index, which is actually linked to the mapping that I will talk to you about in the next slide. Now, the problem in ad hoc environment is that we have frequent disconnections. Your IPs can change. Mobile IP, to some extent, can reduce this problem, but it's not the solution in the sense that you may not have that infrastructure available all the time. So for that, what we are planning to do is that we will be sending periodic update intervals that actually for these to these particular nodes. That way, we will keep this particular agency table fresh. And if we want to send a query to the node 1.2.2.5, and that is dead, then instead we will send it to the next best node. And how we decide which particular subset to send the query to is using query-to-peer mapping. So it's a bidirectional graph structure. And it approximately contains the index of queries and responses. So each node in this mapping contains your index number, which is mainly for the implementation. Then it has a string, which is the actual keyword attached to that particular file or the data structure. Then we have a weight. So weight as such designates how relevant is that particular string in that particular link. So if somebody wants to generate a query for a file saying get to brown web page. So brown is a word. Brown and web page, those are words that have more number of characters. So that way we can attach more weight to that particular word. Then timestamp and the node usage are used to make sure that this particular data structure does not grow too large. And then we have the status, which is also implementation dependent and is basically used to prune the search in that particular mapping. So our idea is that if a particular person sends a query that I just mentioned, let's say, get to brown web page. So this particular query is searched in this mapping first. And whichever the best matches, we get the index number corresponding to that, and this actually is linked to the agency table, and we select that particular peer. So instead of just selecting one particular peer, we select multiple peers. So we rank the first 10 best matches, and we send to first 5 matches. And the system is that each node will have its own query-to-peer mapping. And if a particular query is not being satisfied by the local query-to-peer mapping, you send that query to the next adjacent node, who may be able to satisfy the query-to-mapping, and this goes on. The efficiency of the system as such is based on quite an old law that's called Zipf's law. Many of you must be knowing about that. And this has been used in many number of places for many applications. Earlier it started being used for English words, for predicting pages. Starting to be used for English word for actually getting the frequency of words in a particular text. Then it started being used for predicting pages that should be cached in a network. And let me go through some of the features that helps us in actually using query to peer mapping. There's a paper by Inc. that was presented in Infocom 2002, which was on locality in search engine queries. So it stated that the query repetition frequency follows Zipf's law. That is, 50% of queries are repetitive queries. So the total number of queries in the system, 50% of them will be repetitive. And among the 50% query, most of the queries will be from the same user. That is, among those 50% queries, if you get the total number of queries from a particular user, you will see that those will be repetitive. So the fundamental is that if a request is resolved once using local query to peer mapping, the same will be able to fulfill a large number of queries. So the thing is that query to peer mapping is approximate index of the queries and the responses from that particular user. So if that particular mapping is able to fulfill one request, it is highly likely that the other request will also be fulfilled by the same mapping. And this fact is very useful in disconnected environment. That is, you turn off your device, you are in a region where you can't connect to any other node. And if you send a query, then the chances are that your query will be fulfilled by that particular node. And for the query propagation, there are quite a few number of ways in which we can prune the query. One is the traditional time to live, that's a TTL. And the other is we keep track of the number of results that are returned. And for that, we can have a field in the query itself which tells us the total number of results that are returned, and we stop the query or we just disregard the query once the sender has received that particular number of results. And the other thing we can actually do is to distribute the query in time. So one and two actually is the space. The other thing is we can distribute it on time. So at one particular point of time, we reduce the number of instances of that query in the network. So that reduces the bandwidth to some extent. So to conclude, such a type of system is quite efficient in the sense that since the system is based not just on file names but on words, and we are having no sort of semantics that distinguishes words, it's such sort of symbols, so it is universal. So we can use the same system for English or German or anything. The other thing is that it's based on keywords that I've talked, and it's a self-adaptive. It is a directed approach for query propagation, and it is scalable. And we have a completely distributed system, so there's no single point of failure. And this is one of the best things that I've already talked to you about, that is, since we are using no semantics, so the system will be applicable in all languages. The only problem that can come is that, let's say I'm here in US on one date and then I flew to, let's say, China, then our system won't work in the sense that the local query mapping I will have will be in English, and there if I try to connect to somebody, that may happen to be a person with a Chinese device, then that will be a problem, and that problem has to be figured out. So that's all. Thanks.